Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to give a little talk about the missionary work that we've done in the past and show some pictures of Guyana, South America. Most of the pictures are pictures of people, and this one's not, of course. This one's just an unrelated picture. It was taken in Guyana, but it's just a funny little monkey. There's lots of monkeys in Guyana. The first trip I made to Guyana was 1997, March the 2nd, and there was a flood in Adams County, Ohio, where we live, and I left my wife in the aftermath of the biggest flood that ever hit Adams County and went to Guyana, South America on a missionary trip. And that's where I really got my feet wet, preaching the gospel to people that have different color skin in a far, far away place. But I enjoyed it ever since. I've been back with Serpel. She's went with me about, I think, four times. And my children have been with me there twice. And this last trip in August, we all four went, and we did something different than what we've done in the past, and we had a vacation Bible school. Been down there and always do preaching and Bible teaching, but we've sometimes been down there and I've helped do a little medical missionary work, pulling teeth and giving out worm medicine and just kind of the things that we sometimes take for granted. But nonetheless, every time we go there, there's lots of little children. And we just thought the last time we went down there, we would go and try to have a vacation Bible school. And believe me, children is not necessarily my strong point, okay? Because for me to try to act like a kid is really difficult. But I did my best. My wife and my two children was with me, Houston and Tanner and Serpel, and we had a really good time. We were able to have two vacation Bible schools while we were down there, and they were very well attended. Tanner and I teamed up, and we taught a class for the older children, and Serpel and Houston teamed up and taught a class for the younger children, and of course, we had help from the folks that are members of the congregations where we were. And so I'm going to go ahead and start showing pictures, because if I don't, I won't make it through all of them, okay? When we get down there, obviously we fly a plane. It is a long trip from Miami. It's about, I think it's like 5.5, almost 6 hour flight from Miami to Georgetown, Guyana. And Guyana is this little tiny country about the size of the state of Ohio. And on one side is Venezuela, and on the south side is Brazil, and then there's another country, Suriname, right next to it, where the church here is supporting a local preacher there in Suriname. I guess the main reason why we go there is because they speak English, and it is not too difficult to go in just about anybody's house and talk with them and converse with them, because they do speak English, although it's really difficult to understand sometimes. And you have to be real careful and pay attention to what they say, because they have a lot of slang words, and they kind of sound like Jamaicans, but it's worse than that even, okay? But anyways, when we get there, we spend the night in the capital city, we catch a taxi cab, and then we spend the night, and the next morning we catch another taxi cab, and he takes us to the wharf or the stelling, and we catch a boat, one of these boats right here in the picture. And these boats, are all wood, and if you'll notice, they got a covering over the top of them, okay? Now, this is something new. First 15 years of going to Guyana, the boats were open, and I like that because I can see where I'm going. It's not so hot. And if the thing flips over, I can swim. But now the last two trips, they've been sticking us in these boats with this cover over the top, which brings me to the next picture. This was inside of our boat, all right? Prayer is the most important thing to do, all right? They're like, all these boat drivers are like taxi cab drivers, okay? And a lot of the taxis or cab drivers, they'll have little things inside their cabs or inside of their boat. But it's true. Prayer is something very important to do when you're in this boat, because this boat travels about 45 minutes really fast across this large delta. And it's this muddy, nasty-looking water. It goes across the delta to get to where we're going. And just depending on how big an engine he's got, that wooden boat skips across through there pretty fast. And so, you know, we do pray. And then, and the next picture, they tell you to put a life jacket on, which that's a good thing. They've always done that as long as I've ever been on one of these boats. They make you put a life jacket on. And Guyanese, they are not safety conscious. So if they tell you to put a life jacket on, you'd better do it, because it's really important. They don't wear seat belts. They don't do anything else safety-wise. There's no road signs or anything else. So when they tell you to do that, we do. So there's Tanner, Houston, myself, and also the other fella. That is the preacher that we do a lot of traveling with while we're there. I just took this picture because it's interesting. There's the green bundles are plantains. And I think the other bags full of things are, I'm not real sure what they are, but I think they might be coconuts. See a lot of them big wooden boats. Now, my children really enjoy the food in Guyana, and we eat rice a lot, but there is a tremendous amount of fruit, and they enjoy eating fruit. And they're not eating fruit in this picture, but the native food, they do have really good food. At least we think so, anyways. And so, Houston and Tanner, that's their favorite thing just about, is eating. And here they are. Every house has a hammock. It's just a tradition in Guyana. Every house has a hammock, maybe two or three. And they are eating some fruit. They're called guinep. And I don't know if I can explain to you what they taste like, but the children, we like them. They're a good snack. The first place that we go, we had the vacation Bible school. We was in a place called Richmond, and I don't remember the attendance, but we had anywhere from about 30, I think the last day we had about 60, I believe. And this is Houston and some of the children, and they're happy kids, and they're excited. This is a picture from where we stayed, out looking over the ocean. That's the Atlantic Ocean right there, and late in the evening. I just thought it was a good picture to add. And there's not a lot of scenery in Guyana where we are at, but this is a pretty good picture. Where we stayed, they had some animals. Tanner every morning would go down there and feed the animals. There was a hotel where we stayed at. They had their own, I don't know, zoo, if you will. And they had some parrots and four or five different birds and the monkey. And there's some other parrots. And so Tanner would go down there. Them things would squawk and wake you up in the morning. It was about all they were really good for. Had a study with a fella. I think I mentioned this before, but while we were there, we had four baptisms. There were four people that were baptized on our trip. And the first fella that was baptized was this fella in the picture here. His name's Bacchus. And I don't remember his age, but I think he was 79 years old. And he is a Muslim. He was a Muslim. And in Guyana, there are lots of Muslims and Hindus, and then there's a lot of the denominations as well, Catholics. The Anglican Church is very strong in Guyana. And so there's a mixed group of different religions that were there. The fellow was real sincere, and so I was happy to meet him. I had a couple different Bible studies with him, and he was very excited. He was there for all the services for the rest of the 2 weeks. He came to the vacation Bible school even, which that was fine. And so we were always glad to see someone obey the gospel. The next picture is a lady that he knew, and he sent her to us. And I had a Bible study with her as well. And she was baptized. I can't remember if this is before or after she was baptized. You can see I got my bare feet. I don't have any shoes on. So I'm getting ready to go down into the water. The BBSs are similar to ones we have here. We I think, you know, they weren't completely, they kind of had an idea of what a vacation Bible school should be. And so the people that were there, they made food for snacks for the kids every day. And after we were done having our Bible study, they were eating some snacks, and I'm pouring out this sour sauce. You know, most of the rest of the world, they like hot, spicy food. And so it's becoming more popular here in the United States, but they're born with it. And the little children, it doesn't matter how big they are, they like their sour stuff and their hot, spicy stuff. And so here I am spreading it out for them. Here is a group of children. They're sitting on the bridge next to the water after the services. And so the kids, we really enjoyed working with the children because they're energetic, and they really done amazing as far as the Bible studies that we had every day. We gave them memory verses, and if they could memorize their memory verses throughout the whole time, all 5 days, at the end of the 5 days, we give them a gold medal or a blue rosette, and they did really good at it. I would the older children, gave them a blank piece of paper because we didn't have a lot of materials, and told them to draw us a picture of what they would think heaven would look like, and different things like that. And they were very much excited about it, and so that makes it good when they are engaged. This little fella here, this little cute guy, his name is, I don't know what his name is, but Serpel called him Fish Boy or Fish Man, because he liked to play and catch there's a little tiny fish in the trench. All the streets have open trenches everywhere, and so the open trenches is where the sewage and everything drains out of the town into the canals and then out into the sea. Where we're at is real close to the ocean. Like I showed you a picture a little while ago, the church built, the place where the church meets is only about a 5-minute walk away, and it's real flat. It's real flat, and everything is drained with canals. In back of the town, as soon as you get out of town and farther you go and there's rice fields everywhere. And those rice fields drain through the town and on out into the sea. But there's lots of little fish in there, and the children like to play. There's just three young ladies smiling after one of the days that we had. Every day the ladies would clean up, and they don't have brooms with handles, so I threw this picture in there because that's their way they sweep the floor. They got a bundle of little long sticks, and they're real skinny. I don't know what kind of a plant it is, but that is their traditional way of sweeping the floor. And it has to be swept every day because it's sandy everywhere. It's like Florida or someplace like that. It's sand, white sand everywhere. More children, lots of children. One of the congregations that's not too far away, a brother by the name of Ronald Thompson preaches there. And every day he brought a van load of children. So there's actually two congregations were involved in the vacation Bible school at the first place that we went. And so Ronald Thompson and his wife, they were a big help in boosting the attendance. And his wife also did an excellent job of helping to maintain lots of children, because there was a lot of children for Serpel and Houston and me and Tanner to try to corral that are really that excited. Lots and lots of fruit in Guyana. And so we took a picture just to show you lots of the different fruits. There's the stuff that you would expect, like oranges and mangoes and pineapples and Oh, goodness. It just goes on and on and on. That's just a small fraction of all the different kind of fruits they have there. This fellow laid out here, his name is Muhammad. He was here last summer with Serpell and I. He's the preacher, and he's worn out, and he's taking a nap, okay? His house is right over top of where the church meets. The church meets on the first flat, and he and his wife and his mother-in-law live upstairs. And the building and the house is owned by the church. And so that's about the coolest place you can find is on the floor. It's kind of not really the basement, but that's where the church meets. And so he's taking a nap. One of the days, or maybe I can't remember, maybe a couple of the days, it was really rainy. And lots of rain. It just rained and rained and rained. And we were really worried that it might hurt the attendance, but it didn't seem to be too bad. And I took a picture of all those umbrellas there. It's not like here. It's completely different. People don't drive. They walk. So if they come there, they walk. There's a few people that might come. And if they come in a car, they get dropped off about 4 or 5 blocks away, and they still end up walking. And so umbrellas are a necessity in Guyana. It rains a lot, okay? It rains pretty regular, especially in certain rainy seasons, which I don't think we were in the rainy season, but it's rained a bunch, and there's those umbrellas there. Some of the neighbors, not too far away, they had a feast, and it was a Thanksgiving feast is what they called it. And it wasn't no specific day, it wasn't no specific reason, other than they just wanted to invite all their neighbors. And I think this is common. It is common in Guyana, and so we went, and they fed us really well. I didn't know hardly anybody there, so it makes it feel a little uncomfortable, but they're really friendly and really nice. And you can see we're eating out of these lotus leaves. You know what a lotus is? I don't know if they, I know they don't grow in this part of the world, but the great big lily pad and a great big flower on them, well, they go out there and it's the traditional thing to eat out of is a big lotus leaf. There it is. There's an up-closer picture of it, okay? The next congregation that we went to is called the Sand Pit, and when we went there, this picture is taken inside the church building, and at any service, any given service in a building, there's going to be lizards on the wall, okay? So instead of church mice, they got church lizards, okay? And so Serpell took a picture of the lizard. I don't know, maybe Tanner took it. I'm not sure who took the picture, but there's lizards on the walls, and you know what? They're a good thing because they eat mosquitoes, because there's mosquitoes everywhere too. This fella is, of course, Tanner, and the other fella there is Brother Dash. Brother Dash has been a faithful member as long as I can been at this congregation at the place they call Sand Pit, okay? And that's what it is. It's a sand pit. The big trucks go back there, and they gather sand, and they put them in people's yards because the everywhere is real low. It's because they got to keep water they got to control the flooding with dikes and this system of canals. But anyways, at the sand pit, that's where they get their sand, and there's a community of people there. And so there's a congregation there. It's a small congregation. They've built a new building since I was there last. They have a concrete building, and you can see the concrete in the background. Brother Dash is the official housekeeper for the church building, and he's the first one there and the last one to leave every time. There's Tanner eating a bowl of chow mein noodles, okay, his favorite dish. Fiona is a lady that we've known for a long time. Her and her family, they have a traveling truck, and it goes from place to place, okay, and they sell fruit. They sell brooms. They sell everything you can imagine, or whatever they can find. Most of it is vegetables they sell out of their truck. They sell chicken, okay? They'll sell chicken feet. They sell chicken parts. You can get it. They sell every part of the chicken, you know. It even says on the side of their truck, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but chicken and chicken parts. It even says that on the side of their truck. And so took this picture. They're hardworking. They're very hard. They go out and they gather this stuff. They used to make baby food out of plantains. They would chip it up in small pieces, spread it out and dry it in the sun, grind it up, and then sell it in the capital city for baby food. They don't do that anymore, but they still are industrious. The Guyanese people are industrious, trying to figure out a way to make ends meet and raise a family is a very difficult thing to do. And that's why many of them leave. Her brother, she has brothers in Venezuela. She has a sister in two sisters, one that's in Canada and one that's in Germany. It's a poor place. It's hard to make a living there. And so they really work hard. Fiona's a nice lady. She has two children. Right here's one of them with Houston and Tanner. And her name's Mona, and she's a nice young lady. She was baptized on one of our previous trips that we went down there to Guyana on. Now, the preacher's name, if you remember me telling you, his name is Muhammad Ali. Okay, I don't know if I've told some of you, I'm sure I've told you that, and whenever you might have met him here when he was here one time last year, his name is Muhammad Ali. He was born a Muslim. He was raised in a Muslim family. He was raised by his aunt, so he was somewhat of an orphan. And he started searching, and he's searching for the truth. And he recognized that the Muslim faith was not it, because he's a pretty smart fella, and he knows the Quran very well. And he's an East Indian, okay? He's not a Negro man. He's an East Indian, that's his race. But he left the Muslim faith. He became a Baptist, and he was a Baptist preacher for a couple years. And then he obeyed the gospel. He became a Christian, a member of the Lord's church, and he could tell you all about that, of course, but he's an interesting fella, and he did like to box when he was a teenager, I guess. So he put the gloves on, asked Tanner if they have a little sparring match, but I don't... Tanner was definitely not interested in that, other than the picture, okay? And I don't blame him. I'm not a boxer either. At the end of the 5 days, we had a big feast, okay? All these children were there. They wanted to have a big feast. So here they are. Brother Herman is the fella on the left, and that's how they cut chicken up, all right? They don't cut like wings and legs and thighs. They take that machete and they chop it up into little pieces about that big. And so it's indiscriminate, you know. They just start cutting. So that's the first thing they do, is they cut up the chicken. The next thing they do is they get this big pot, they call it a karahi, and they start a fire and they fill it full of rice. And they start boiling the rice, and then they start adding stuff to it. And this dish is called cook-up, and it's good. It's real good. Another step that I don't have a picture of is they take coconut, and they grind it, and then they squeeze it. And you squeeze it in water, and the milk will come out. And so they put that coconut milk in there. Now, if we talk, what we call coconut milk and what they call coconut milk is two totally different things. But anyways, it's got coconut milk, shredded coconut, rice, chicken, and black beans, and lots and lots and lots of garlic, okay? There's Houston. And guess what they use to stir it up with? A canoe paddle, okay? They have a canoe paddle. Brother Herman is, I don't think he's full-blooded, but he is, he's at least half Native American Indian from Guyana. And that's a picture, that's him in the background. It's kind of faded. But Brother Herman is also a minister, and he preaches for a congregation way out in the bush. And we went and visited him and some of the members, and I got pictures of them here in just a little bit. Then after it's all cooked up, there it is, and they dish it out, and we have, and these are the cooks, Brother Muhammad, Brother Herman, Brother Julie, Brother Herman's wife, Joan, and Sister Judith, okay? And there's the whole gang. At the end, we got a big picture of the whole bunch of them. This little fella, I don't remember, but Sir Peller Tanner Houston must have took the picture. I don't remember his face, but that was a good picture. So we took a picture of him eating his meal. Three young ladies with their ribbons and their gold medals on for their memory work that they were able to do. Now, one day we did take somewhat of an outing, and two different times. And we went and visited some Christians that are kind of far away that I have known in the past. And there's Tanner, and we're on the river. And this is the Pomeroon River, and we catch a little boat. Brother Herman has his own boat. That's the only means of transportation once you get to the end of the road. When you get to the end of the road, you get in a boat to get anywhere else. And so Brother Herman has a boat and a motor, and he took us to the place where he preaches on a regular basis. And once you get about 7 or 8 miles down the river, you go up a canal. And it's the place where he preaches is called Better Hope. It's a good name. And the place where it used to be was called, Friendship Canal is what it was called, okay? Better Hope is on Friendship Canal. And here's just a picture of some farmers bringing out some of their crops. This is where the church is meeting now, a little wood building. It's been moved several times. And I don't have a picture of it, but right next door to it, they're building a new building made out of concrete. Here's Brother Herman and Brother David. And David is somewhat of a pillar in the church, and it is on his property where the church is meeting there. And they got some coconuts there that they have in hand. And the next picture is his son climbing up the coconut trees. I got a bunch of pictures, and he climbed up them trees faster than I could get a picture, a good one. So I took about 10 pictures. I hope this is about the best one I could get. But he would cover his arms. He would wrap a thing around his face, around his neck, pull his boots on. You can't see any of his skin except the face. That's it. Maybe his hands. And because there's ants, these great big ants all over the trees that cover you up when you climb up in those trees. So he was all geared up, and it was 95 degrees in the shade, and so it was a hot job. Then one of the reasons why he went up in the tree was to get us some coconuts, and they got two kinds of coconut. They got the 5-year and the 3-year, and the 3-year coconut is the one that has the water in it. So this is Brother David cutting us open a coconut, and you drink the water right out, okay? And I don't know, it tastes like kind of like coconut does if you've never had it before. And here they are. After you drink the water out of the coconut, it has jelly inside. It's white, and I don't like it, okay? But Tanner does, and Sister Judith like it. And then they take the machete, cut a little piece off of the husk of the coconut, and use that for a spoon, and they scratch it out. And here is Tanner eating a great big piece of it, okay? And so it has kind of an indiscriminate taste. And I don't know, it's not appealing to me. But anyways, there's a spider, okay? And here the fellows are looking for some fruit. There's plenty of fruit everywhere. Here is Sir Pell and Houston and Tanner and everybody that lives on a canal or the river has their own stelling. That's where they park their boat. That's where they load their boat and get in and out. That's where they take a bath. That's where they wash their clothes, right there in the water. And so it's a pretty important place that all the people that live on the river have. Took this picture because I thought it was just interesting that a whole herd of goats would go through next to the ocean side there. And Houston's, we're sitting there in the evening, next to the ocean, bunch of goats. There was probably 100 of them, and that's just 7 or 8 that got in the picture. The Sand Pit congregation, we had the Vacation Bible School there. Not as many days, but it was well attended, and we had a good time there. We had the same basic program. Serpell and teaching, talking to this young lady here. And so got pictures of Serpell in action, all right? And this is Sister Judith washing dishes, okay? And right behind her is the outside toilet that everybody uses. You know, they don't have any running water. Houston and Tanner in front of the mango tree, all right? It was a good place to take a picture. The last day of our trip, we took another outing up the river in the opposite direction to visit another family. And we went up there. You know how they talk about the crabs walking? Well, the crabs must have been walking on the seaside, and everybody was selling crabs. And some people bought some, but I never got to eat any. Maybe it's a good thing, okay? This lady here is Sister Obermuller, Maria Obermuller. And I think I met her and her children on the first trip I made to Guyana when her children were still young. And they were teenagers at least. And she lives by herself on the river. She's a very industrious woman too. She has her own farm. She lives by herself. Her children come and visit her from time to time. But she is a member of the church of the Jack Low congregation that's fairly close, right across the river from where, right there. You can see the river in the background of the picture there. And so she likes to have visitors, and she has several grandchildren, lots of them I'm sure I've never met. One of her grandchildren is named Avalon, and he was baptized on the last day of our trip right there in the river. And so this young fella was baptized. I had two Bible studies with him earlier in the week, and so I was happy to see him baptized. Here he is with his mother, Marinetta, and his baby sister, and his grandmother. And Sister Maria has a lot. I think she has 11 children, or 13, or something like that, a lot. And so she's a really nice lady. She's a faithful member of the church, and so I enjoy meeting and visiting with her and being with her and her family. This is my last picture. This was, I think, on the last day that we left, before we left, and just a bunch of shorebirds. There's several hundred, maybe a couple thousand, I don't know, of the ocean there. And so our trip to Guyana, again, was well. We always have some kind of difficulties of some sort. But nonetheless, like I said, you forget about those shortly after you leave. So we really enjoyed our trip, and we plan to go again, but we don't know when. And I appreciate the congregation and the support that I have received from them and individuals and lots of family members to go on these trips. And so Guyana is a place that is ripe for the missionary work. I think it always will be. They're always, you know, they're local preachers there, which is good. But there are always places to go. 3 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, I went to a place on an Indian reservation. You have to have permission to go to Indian reservations. And we held a gospel meeting there and had a couple baptisms. And one of the ladies I saw on this trip, and she's still faithful. There's another Indian reservation that I would like to go to on my next trip. So I don't know. Again, I don't know when I'm going to be going there again, but I'd like to go there because I've been told that there are other religious groups that went in there, but I'm pretty sure the Church of Christ has not been there. So I'd like to go there and see what could happen there. Maybe very little, but you never know until you try. And so the church is established, but there's definitely plenty of work to do. It's obvious because there's always a good turnout and souls are added to the kingdom when we go down there and people are baptized and become Christians. And you see some of them you never see again, but a lot of them you see on over and over again. If you would, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 10. If you'd like to read along with me or just listen, we'll be fine. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I'm hoping that the next time we go down, we can see some of those young people again. A lot of those young people are old enough to obey the gospel. They're teenagers. And so one of them was baptized. But I do believe that, we plant the seed, and hopefully the church and the congregation down there will continue to water those seeds and more souls will be added to the kingdom. And preaching the gospel is a wonderful blessing. I know for sure that the blessing is all on those that is definitely on us and those that are able to go and participate in these things. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ so that your sins might be washed away. And so we offer an invitation here too. And I know that most of us, if not all of us, have heard the gospel many times. And some of those people have only heard it a few times. And many of them have never heard it as it should be. And so we're really blessed to live in a country where we do. And so let us not forget that. Tonight we offer an invitation to anybody that has never obeyed the gospel and repented of their sins and confessed Jesus as the Christ and been baptized for the remission of their sins and have their name written in God's book. And if there's anyone here tonight that needs the prayers of the church because of unfaithfulness or because you've taken the blood of Jesus for granted or your salvation or your church, Christian friends or some sin has separated you, we can pray for you too. If there's anyone that needs a prayer of any sort or any kind of request, we'd be glad to help you in any way we can. If you need to respond, step to the front while we stand and sing.
Rock of ages,
cleft for me,
let my soul.